The obstacles.
Yes.
And we talked about the obstacles last week that get put into our lives by the enemy. And today we want to talk about our third O, which is the opportunities, though, we get from God when we are going through struggles and going through battles. And Goliath must fall. Whatever's in our lives must fall because God wants to take us to a new level in Christ. He wants to take the church in a new level in Christ, but he wants to take you as an individual in Christ. And he does that by opportunities. So the first thing we look at, that there is an opposition. There is an enemy who seeks to pull us down. And to do that, he puts obstacles in our lives. But God turns those obstacles into opportunities. And he does it by a word called kairos. And kairos is just an ancient Greek word, which means an opportune moment. It's a moment in your life which can go dramatically in different directions. Because it's a word which you have to make a decision on. It's a word which woos you into the sense of, wow, look at that difficulty that's come into my life. And then God opens a kairos moment in which you either take it and completely transform your life or you withdraw. Do you remember the children of Israel's story? Do you remember the children of Israel's story? They were paralyzed. Why? They had a chance with David and Goliath to have that kairos moment. They were terrorized, but God gave them an opportunity, a kairos moment, and only young David took that opportunity. Let's listen to a verse of Scripture which tells us about those obstacles. It's in Romans 16, verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles in your lives. The Bible tells us that there will be obstacles. There will be moments in our lives. And which sometimes, as we talked about last week, they come from within and not from without. And we talked much, and you can listen to it on the internet, that most comes from our families. Most of us comes from those who we thought would support us. And here was this young boy, David, we talked about last week, whose father didn't recognize him. His brothers didn't recognize him. The king of Israel did not recognize him. But David recognized who he had. And he sees that kairos moment in his life. It's a moment when it's a significant moment that can either wow you to the sense of fear and terror, or it can create a moment. Think about someone. Her name was Rahab. She was terrified when the spies came. She knew the children of Israel were about to attack Jericho. And she had a kairos moment. She could either be wowed by the situation, or she could say to herself, what can I do to change the situation? And she hid the spies. She did a kairos moment. She significantly moved in the kairos moment. What about Queen Esther? What did, I always get this right, I think it's Mordecai. What did Mordecai say to Esther, one of the most favorite verses of Scripture? Who knows whether you have come into power for such a time as this? Here there was a moment in time which was seizing and terrifying the whole nation of Israel. It had a death sentence written over the whole nation of Israel. And in every opportunity and in every obstacle that Satan had put in to this nation of Israel, he decided that through a wicked man called Mordecai, Haman, that he was going to wipe out the whole of Israel. But God was still on the throne. And God says, out of this chaos, I'm going to provide a kairos moment. Who is going to take the initiative? The rest of the children of Israel were in terror. And Mordecai says to this young girl, who knows whether or not God has given you this opportunity to move in God and to change the situation of her nation. She didn't want to. And he says, well, if you don't, you will die with the rest of us. But I want to assure you, he said, God will raise somebody up. And she decided to take a kairos moment in her life. Jacob, he was wrestling with God all night. And he refused to allow. He refused to allow God go until God had blessed him. And I want to tell you something. Kairos moments will either cripple us or they will create something. Because the enemy does seek to cause division and to tell us that we can't do it. And God often has to move in those kairos moments. And I don't know what journey in life you're going through. You may be going through a real battle and a real struggle right now, but I promise you, God will give you a kairos moment. But it's up to us whether we seize that kairos moment and actually move in that kairos moment. And God gives us all. God gave you a kairos moment the day you opened your eyes and said, do you want to take me as your savior? You had a kairos moment. You could have sat there and stood there all day and thought, well, I'll think about it, God. I'll think about this and I'll come back to you. Do you remember King Agrippa? Are you trying to make me a Christian? Do you remember his words? Are you trying to make me a Christian? I'll think about it. I'll think about it. Some of you said, no, I don't want to think about it. I'm going to act. And I'm going to invite Jesus into my heart. That was a Kairos moment. It was a moment when either you could say no or move in the moment in which God had given you. And this little boy called David, remember the little boy called David? Well, he, little boy called David, saw this huge giant and he thought, you're looking big, son. But he didn't look negatively and think, he's too big. You know what he said? Yeah. He said, I know, and you love the David and Goliath story. I know you do. And he loves the David and Goliath. And you know why we love it? Because the giant comes what? When somebody takes a Kairos moment. You've gone through battles yourselves. You've all got giants. It depends whether you want to seize your Kairos moment. See, David didn't look at how big Goliath was. David just looked how big he could fall. And God wants to seize us on opportunities moments. And you know, the Israelites couldn't move on because of their current situation. And everyone is our next one. Everyone will go through battles. Being a Christian means you have a powerful God on your side, but it does not immune you that you will not go through battles. And part of making the battle this morning is a thing called worship. It is a thing called worship this morning. I want to tell you something. We need to know as a church and children, you need to start worshiping and praising God, because worship is the thing that always overcomes the obstacle that Satan first of all puts in into our hearts and into our minds. See, there's a Kairos moment in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve choose to obey the lies of Satan. And instead of coming against him, they choose to obey his lies. There was a Kairos moment, and through that Kairos moment, the whole of history has been condemned into sin. Through that one moment, that one act has taken the whole of the world. We thank you that because Jesus died upon a cross, that one act of Kairos moment where Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He decided to make a Kairos moment. He said, not my will, but I'm going to do it. That was a Kairos moment which changed the whole course of history. And you and I receive it this morning on salvation. And God had that problem, Jesus had that problem to face. And we can either buy into these moments. And it's worship. It's worship. It's worship. Now, how many times are you not worshiping in your own private place? That should be a moment of every day where you and God alone are worshiping. You're worshiping him, by the way. Worship is not meant for a Sunday morning purely. It's meant that every day in our lives we have a worship in God, and then we'll enter the depths of his love. God has given us a Kairos moment each day in which he says, I want to woo you this morning. Are you going to take it or not? I want to show you a little video clip, children. I want you to tell me, you children, as you watch this video clip, the significance of what these people did. Let's listen to this story and see what actually happens when people take Kairos moments.
I've had a hard day. Our new puppy chewed a hole in my favorite shirt. My brother ate the last of the cereal, and I stepped in a puddle and my socks got all wet. Oh, and I almost forgot. I also bit my tongue.
Hard days remind me of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. Trust me, they had some really hard days.
Kinda like my day?
Even worse, Paul and Silas went all the way to Rome to teach people about Jesus. They did amazing things there through God's power.
That all sounds pretty great to me.
Well, some people didn't like it. They took Paul and Silas to the city rulers and accused them of causing trouble. Then, the rulers ordered soldiers to beat Paul and Silas with wooden rods.
That's awful!
It was. Then they put Paul and Silas in prison and told the jailer to make sure they didn't escape.
Were Paul and Silas really upset?
Actually, they prayed and sang songs of praise to God while the other prisoners listened. Then, around midnight, there was a huge earthquake.
Great. So things got even worse?
No. They got better. As the prison shook, the doors flew open, and the prisoners' chains fell off. Then...
Wait, let me guess. Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners escaped?
That's what the jailer thought, too. When he woke up and found the prison doors open, he thought all the prisoners must have gotten out. He was so afraid, he took out his sword to kill himself.
What? Why would he do that?
He thought the soldiers would kill him anyway for not doing his job. But just then, Paul called out to him from inside the jail. He said, wait, don't kill yourself. See, we're all still here.
Wait, you mean no one escaped?
That's right. Since Paul and Silas chose to praise God, even though they were wrongfully imprisoned, all the prisoners were amazed. They did the right thing. They didn't escape, even when they had the chance.
The jailer must have been really happy.
He was. He took Paul and Silas to his house, where they ate a meal together. And Paul and Silas got to tell everyone in the jailer's family about Jesus. Everyone believed and was baptized.
Wow, Paul and Silas made a big difference, even on a hard day.
Yep, even when things were hard, they showed everyone that God is always good, no matter what else is going on.
You know what? God is good.
All the time.
Kairos moment changed the whole place. What was the obstacles in their way, children? They were beaten with rods. They were thrown into prison. They had chains put on them. The enemy stopped them from preaching the gospel. Opposition and obstacles. And so Paul and Silas had a decision to make. They could sit and cry because they were bleeding, because someone had hit them with the belts and that. They were chained. They had a decision to make because God opened up a Kairos moment. And what did they do? They worshipped. They worshipped. And the reason the prison doors and everywhere was an earthquake is because they worship. Just imagine, children, if you start worshiping God, I'm not saying you'll create an earthquake, or if you do, make sure you know where I am. But worshiping God, yeah, can create an earthquake of worship. You see, Paul had and Silas had a decision to make. There was a Kairos moment that had come into their lives. Were they going to be terrorized by it, or were they going to move in worship? And the Bible tells us that Paul and Silas, they sang praises and prayed to God. It's the two keys that opportunity God gives us when obstacles come in our way, is to sing worship to God, believing that the battle belongs to thee. The battle belongs to the Lord. But you see, David, little David, he knew that. Because you know what he said? He said to this big king, I've killed a bear and I've killed a lion because God delivered me. David said, I knew who was fighting for me. Whenever the opposition came, whenever the obstacle came, David said, there was an opportunity for God to show his power. Let me tell you, every obstacle you have in your life gives God an opportunity to come in and show his power. Seriously, God's overwhelming power works in every opposition and obstacle in our lives if we are prepared to move in Kairos moments. And Paul and Silas praised and worshipped God, worshipping and singing to God. We envy sometimes the musicians. Well, I do, because I can't just pick the guitar up. Well, I play all the right notes, but not necessarily in any order. I just play them. But and I sing. But you see, God still loves to hear me sing. He loves to hear me worship. He loves to hear me in the classroom, just closing my little office door there, singing and worshiping and praises God. It silences the enemy and it focuses my attention on Jesus. And when my attention's focused on Jesus, the opposition and obstacles don't seem so big. They don't seem so big. And David was saying to the king, he was saying to King Saul, listen, you're looking at a massive giant, but I don't see a massive giant. I see an opportunity for God to move. That's what I see. And I wonder, the children of Israel's perspective had been like that, they wouldn't have gone 40 days. 40 days of living in a tent, terrorized by one person. And it could be one big obstacle in your life that is terrorizing you, that can is keeping you from moving on in God. It can just be one. It can be many, but it can just be one. But look at it the way David looked at it. Here is an opportunity for God to show his power. And he says to the Goliath, this day my God is going to deliver you into my hands. See, David's faith was born out of experience. And there's a lovely little picture that I was going to put up when I didn't. And it says this, the seasons of waiting prepare us for the next step in our destiny. I don't know whether you can see it. The seasons of waiting prepare us for the next step in our destiny. The next step in your destiny. Now for you two people, the next step in your destiny is marriage. God has been preparing this. Do you know that God has been preparing this? There'll be opposition. There'll be obstacles in your lives. And believe you me, when sin came in, perfect love disappeared. So that's why women sometimes fall out with us men. Sometimes women, you're not perfect. I'm afraid to tell you, you're not perfect. And sometimes you just fall out. Just fall out with us, right? And we understand that we've got grace, you see. And we appreciate that you know, you're just not there yet. And but listen. Yeah, but you're just not there. But listen, every time there's an obstacle comes in, you two, remember it's an opportunity for God's amazing grace to come in. Because if we didn't have obstacles and we didn't have opposition, we would stay status quo. It's when opposition and obstacles come in, we go to God and we say, show us your mighty opportunity, power of God. And God delivers us from this and we are encouraged. We learn by obstacles. We learn by opposition. If we understand kairos moments, if we understand that every opposition and obstacle only produces one thing only, a kairos moment. I want us to put this little next text on. Worship shifts our attention and allows us to see, come on, listen, and allows us to see God better. Worship is like a corrective lens for our souls, bringing God clearer into view. Children, your binoculars. What do you do with binoculars, children? Come on, that's it, Philip. That's it. Get your binoculars out. Why do you get binoculars? That's right. It's to make what you can't see more. And that's what worship does, Philip. Worshiping Jesus brings it more clearer into our lives. It's important for all of us, especially when life goes off the rails. Worship puts God in what? When we worship in God, we see Jesus much more clearly because our attention's on Jesus. You see, we're thinking about singing about Jesus. This little boy here on a Tuesday night comes to the prayer meeting, by the way. And when he's in a prayer meeting, you want to hear him singing, isn't he? Our attention is focused on God. And that's what worship does. When the Almighty is in view, our giant's power over our thinking begins to what? Flicker and to fade. Because God gives us an opportunity. He says, I'm giving you a kairos moment in the obstacle in your life, Eddie. You can either get swallowed up by it, or I can take an opportunity here to allow me to come into your situation. Because I want to tell you, you will never destroy any obstacle in your life on your own. You're not designed to, you're not created to, and you're never meant to. I do all things through. That's why I invite Christ into my situation. And even if it means that at the end of life's journey, I don't get what I believe I want, I still trust that God's great vision for my life, the plans that he has for my life, are for good. And I was a little boy and he was missing his daddy. And you know what his mommy said to him when he was in bed? Really miss my daddy. So you know what she did? She got a picture of him because his daddy was away on business. And she got his picture. And she said, every time you're feeling lonely, look at the picture of your daddy. And he thought, oh, I'd do that, mummy. So that's what he did. He got a picture of his daddy. And when he used to be alone, he used to just look at a picture. And he used to, oh, that's so happy. That's my daddy. And one day he said to his mummy, wouldn't it be wonderful if daddy could come out of the picture? You know, God has. God has come out of the picture. His name is Jesus. If you're feeling lonely, have a picture of Jesus. How do I get a picture of Jesus? I worship. I won't get a picture of Jesus unless I worship. Unless I have my focus, unless I have my binoculars on him. And we're going to take a moment, children, because I want all you children to stand up now, adults too, and we're going to see if we can do this. We're going to see if we can focus on Jesus in this one song. So we need to do the actions. So spread out, because we need to do the actions. Because I want to get you into, you can do this on your own. You need to start worshiping Jesus, church. And I'm not talking about a Sunday morning. You need to have a time every single moment now where you are worshiping Jesus. It needs to go into your diary. You need Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to worship Jesus. Every one of you have got iPads. I've seen all your kids. You bring your iPads. Everyone, you can work better. Your iPad's better than some of us adults. I want you to download some DVDs. These are Hillsong's videos for children. Stand up, boys and girls. Stand up. Stand up, moms and dads. We're gonna worship God in this song. We're gonna declare with our binoculars. We're going to put some binoculars on, and we're going to say to God, listen, children, we're going to say to God, whatever the opposition is, whatever the obstacle is, we believe that praise silences the enemy, that worship is going to bring an opportunity for a kairos moment. Worship brings me an opportunity because it focuses my attention on God. Thank you very much, Katie.
Times is you I see, I put your foot. yesterday, today the same. Forever till forever means no end. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for.
Oh, come on. Well, what we're going to do now is we're all going to get down nice and low. That's it. How low can you go? And we're going to sing, "You are the way, the truth, and the life." Come on, let me hear you.
You are the way, the truth, and the life. Created by faith and not by self-will. We're living off of you. You are the way, the truth, and the life.
Listen, enjoy that. Now that hasn't took your troubles away. It hasn't took your troubles away. But I'll tell you something, it's lifted your spirits. And every one of you, I don't care who you are in this room, you've got an iPad, you've got something like that. Instead of putting Sky News on or Aston Villa, especially that, instead of doing that, why don't you slip that DVD on? I'm being serious with you. Why don't you start saying every morning, "I'm going to put one song on like that." Children, you can download all of these. They're called Hill Songs for Children. They're free, Hill Songs for Children. And get your parents to help you come along. I know Simon probably won't be able to move about as quickly as that. And I do appreciate that. I noticed Wendy was doing it. She was okay. We'll bypass the rest. But listen, if it does nothing else for you, that lifted my spirits up. I was having fun. People say, "Oh, we can't have fun. Why can't I have fun worshipping Jesus? Why can't I have fun worshipping Jesus? What's the point of worship?" Worshipping Jesus is fun. Worshipping Jesus puts Eddie Lawrence into perspective that I've got a God who is able to do abundantly more than I dare think or ask. And you know, young David and Goliath, young David used to sit on a hillside and he had a few sheep, and every morning he didn't put his DVD on, he got his guitar out. And you know what? He wrote 150 psalms. And he used to write songs to Jesus, and then in the middle of a hillside, he used to just start singing to Jesus. "Oh, it's my share." No, a bit beat. It was a real good beat. It had a real beat on it because I helped to compose some of the tunes. And it was really, you know, David just loved. What did David love to do? He loved to worship God. And why was David so successful in life? Because it wasn't just worshiping God in the temple that made David. It was worshiping God on a hillside when there was nobody else to see him. It's saying, "God, I love you and I want to focus my attention on you." And when the bear comes and when Goliath comes, children, when Goliath came, David wasn't shaken. David was ready to take on a giant. When God gave an opportunity, a kairos moment, that either could have gone, "Wow, we can't do this, can we, children of Israel?" No, we can't. Or we can say, hey, I'm stepping forward into my destiny. I've been prepared for this all my life. I'm stepping into my destiny. I want to tell you, God's got a plan and a destiny for us all. We weren't supposed to be doing some of this stuff. We're just supposed to be doing that because worship, give thanks to God. How much more will God do today if we could only worship him? Most people, you see, they don't like worship because they think it's boring. And it might have been when I was in church 50 years ago. Well, okay, I'm only 35, so I can't be. But when I was in church, when I was a child, some of the songs were very slow, and it was meticulously boring. And it wasn't until we used to sing Only a Boy Called. I'm not going to go and do it again. But it wasn't until I used to get to Sunday school, and we used to sing Running Over. Do you remember that one? My heart's full of running over. Do you remember that one, Mary? Come on, you must. You've been wrong twice. So you must have remembered that one. Then we used to sing, I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in. Well, it used to be great fun. We used to sing all these songs, and they were really good fun.
I've got a new one in my heart. What? My take God.
Excellent. There you are, you see. That's brilliant. Listen, if you're starting to learn to worship God now like this, thank goodness, you boys. Get a DVD out tomorrow and just download something. Ethan, Joshua, you're still pretty young. Get one out tomorrow. As you're caring for those patients, instead of doing this to them, sing a song to them. Sing a song to Jesus. God gives us divine opportunities. Oh, friends, we've got to worship Jesus. We've got to worship him. We've got to praise him. It was lovely this morning. You see, I love the worship. I go out here blessed every Sunday because I just choose to worship God. I can't buy in for you. I can only buy in for me. I can only buy in for me. Worship gives thanks to God. We all face battles. I want to just quickly go through. I think we'll probably end now. I want you to put the next slide up, my friend Katie. The second thing is never stop. You don't talk to God. I don't know how you survive. And I don't mean doing this every morning, Richard. I just mean saying to God, God, I'm off my way to school today. As your dad drives you in the back of his car, you need to be praying anyway because he's driving you. So that's the first thing you need to be praying. But you need to be saying to God, God, I might be having a bad day at school today. God, would you make my day a good day? God, would you give me an opportunity today? You say, God, would you give me an opportunity today? God, I might have some obstacles in doing my math, but God, I believe I can take some opportunity. Never let anything overwhelm you when you've got a God who is able to do more than you dare exceedingly think or ask. But what have you got to do? Just use the last word. That's right, Mercy. Amazing. Not Mercy. What's your name? Andy. You've got to ask. You've got to ask, haven't you? God can't do anything if we're not going to ask him. But God says, I delight to hear my children. Start worshiping every morning. Start praying every day. And I do not mean hands on knees. I mean you can do it as you're going to work. You can do it. Just naturally talk to God. Get into the habit. If you find it a struggle at first, of course you will, because the devil doesn't want you to pray. That's an opposition. And the obstacle would be you haven't got time. You've got a busy day ahead of you, Christine. You haven't got time to pray. It's a lie. It's an obstacle. Use that opportunity. Say to the devil, I have got time to pray. I'm going to do it now. Seize the opportunity. He'll stop bothering you once he knows you're not going to give in to him. We need to do it. Could we have the next slide as we finish? There are 365 verses that say what? That's a verse, I think, for every day of the year, isn't it? Apart from a leap year, obviously. I know some people will come out and say, what about the leap year? But just do the first verse twice. There are so many verses on fear. Why? Because God knows we are a fearful people. God knows we live in fear. God knows the enemy has put that in. It's one of the things we got from the fall is fear. Goliath taunts worked their way into the Israelites' minds and kept them in what? They kept them in fear. Goliath continually taunted them for 40 days. And them every day they got more and more and more fearful. David goes up one day. He only hears his taunt once. So listen, he only heard his taunt once and said, that's enough. I don't want to hear you anymore. I don't want to hear you anymore, Goliath. I'm going to stop the dribble out of your mouth. I've now got an opportunity to show you just who you are mocking. You see what happened? He didn't say, I think I'll do it tomorrow. The enemy would have whispered in him tomorrow. Or I'll leave it till Wednesday. And that's the trouble with you and I. Oh, I'll pray tomorrow. I'll pray on Wednesday. Now's the time. If you sang it, come. Now is the time to what? We sing songs, but do we do it? Seriously, Kevin's led us today and Wendy's led us today. Some of the songs were just fit for those certain sermons. Battle belongs to the Lord. Do we believe it? Come, now is the time for worship. Do we believe it? Do we believe I can enter the depths of his love? Do we? Because if we do, we'll take a Kairos moment and we'll go and be active. Finally, could you put the last slide on for me, please? The opposition of fear isn't courage. What is it? David didn't have to have courage to face Goliath. You have to have faith in Jesus tomorrow to face the obstacles you may face at school. Not courage. If you've got your faith in Jesus. I know you have. It's your first week at school, by the way. This lad's had his first week in nursery. Emma doesn't know what to do with that time. And I've given her loads of jobs and she's turned them everyone down. She hasn't taken the Kairos opportunity. I just wanted to tell you that and just in front of everyone just for you. Many of them friends. Goliath was fearful to the children of Israel. And all Israel had to do was to say, years ago, my God pulled down the walls of Jericho. My God took me across the Red Sea. My God is able to do abundantly more than I dare think or ask. Goliath, you will taunt us no more. When day two comes, we're going out to meet you. But for 40 days, they didn't. All your obstacles and in all your oppositions, opportunities will always come because I've got an amazing God who will transform, providing I'm prepared to worship him and pray to him. That is our final one. The last slide is just a slide of what we've been talking about this morning. We all face battles. Children, you face battles. Tell God that you really need him. I can do all things through Christ. Worship and give thanks to God. Put a DVD on. Put something on that's just going to help you worship God. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. If you are putting worship CDs on in your car, please be mindful that you are still concentrated on the Lord in all seriousness. I hope you're going to worship him next week. And I hope you're going to pray next week. And I hope you're going to look at the things you're going through. Problems in your life and say to yourself like David, that's an obstacle. I am not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in faith. One way, Jesus. Now I believe we've got some songs. So we're going to end up now just singing a song as we take you for our offering today.